Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Thank you for once again stopping by at Restoration Place on the King James Radio Network. We are at jamesisking.com. Also on Facebook, find us at King James Radio Network, and also on Twitter at King James Radio 1. As always, this is Restoration Place, a service of Restoration Christian Ministries out of North Brunswick, New Jersey, with Pastors John and Darlene Bazemore. This week, we give you part two of what we called last week Restoration Remnants. And a remnant is basically something that has been left over, for whether it's food or whether it's money or whatever it is, something that's been left over. And in this case, you know, what's left over is, you know, in the eyes of God, sometimes that's all you need. You know, you look at Gideon, for example, in the Bible, you look at Gideon and what he had left over to work with, and he was able to be successful with it. And so God doesn't necessarily look at numbers, although there is a book devoted to numbers, you know, in the Bible, but, you know, is not the, you know, the end all be all. God has the final say. And so Pastor B wanted to expand on his message of last week. And so with a continuation of that, we bring you to Pastor John Bazemore Jr., Restoration Remnants, part two on this edition of Restoration Place.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Give God the praise for the things that we have been asking for. Amen. We're going to bless the Lord at all times.
Amen.
And His praise shall continually be in our mouth.
Amen.
This time we got Pastor with a hearty amen.
Amen.
I'm just happy to be. I want to sit down because I know I have another service this afternoon. And, just a little weak in my body, but I mean, other than that, I'm really okay. It's a rough week because I'm not used to being sick. I just never get sick. So whenever any type of bug or cold or whatever it may be comes on my body, you know, I fight it. You know, and some of the things I guess I shouldn't be doing, you know, I continue to do those things, not realizing sometimes your body just needs to take it down,
yes,
to rest and relax. So thank God I'm feeling better this morning. As I was in the in my office, and I was reading, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, in order to, let me say it exactly how He said it. If you want to go up, you have to go down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I think you know what I mean. You have to be prostrate in that prayer position. I mean, if you really want to ascend, you have to descend first on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
So He told me, and I was sitting in the chair, you know, and He said, no, I want you to bow down to me. And I was like, if I bow down, my head won't be spinning like crazy, but don't you get it? So He said, I want you to bow down. So I got up, got on my knees on the carpet, and I just put my hands in front of me, and I just bowed down. And I could feel, like, I don't know if it's pressure or whatever, just coming to my head. And I'm like, and I'm saying to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I know He knew my thoughts, because I said, see, I told you what was going to happen. And I stood up, and I was standing in front of the window for a second, and completely gone. All my hoarseness, I mean, I couldn't even talk this morning. My hoarseness, my the stuffiness, you know, the phlegm on the throat, just gone. And I went in and told Darlene, I said, you ain't gonna believe this. And she looked at me like, why wouldn't I believe it? But I just want to encourage you, because last week I was talking about the remnant, and I want to just kind of go back in my training mode when I was in the corporate world, in my training days. You know, they often say when you're training, you tell people what you're going to tell them. You tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. That's the training model, and that's what you do. And so I just want to briefly talk about not talk about, but just mention and remind all of us that we are the remnant. And by that I mean this. We had a good amount of people. I know Nikki and Trey, they visited a couple of times when we were in the building on 130. And I was saying this last week, when we had our building, we had a good number of people there. I mean, Pat's shaking her head because, I mean, we went from the high school, well, actually from my house to the high school. And when we were in the high school, that's when things started growing some. But when we got in our building, I mean, it seemed like people were coming from everywhere. I mean, they really were. So we were really excited about that. But then when we came back to the hotel, you know, I don't know what it is about the dynamics of having your own place, but it seems that when you have your own place, you seem to attract more people. But I'm not going to worry about that right now. But I want you to know that whenever people that were here and those that remain behind, you're called the remnant. And the remnant in the Word of God is what God always uses to do amazing things for his people. If you can recall, he didn't use the whole army of Gideon, but he used a remnant of that, 300 people. So he didn't use, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but he didn't use Elisha and his servant, when they were surrounded by the army. He didn't, you know, enlisted a whole army of, you know, the Israelites to go and fight. He just asked God to open up his servant's eyes so that he could see what he could see. And when his eyes were open, he saw a whole army gathered around him. So sometimes, folks, the things that you don't see. Now, I want you to understand this. Because I, you know, and maybe you can tell, but I'm in a different place now than I was even a month ago. It's just things are different now because I see things differently now. You know, I don't have this urgency about me to, you know, to press into God. And, now, God, I don't have that urgency because now I finally can believe that it's done. I mean, I believe that the things that I've been asking God to do, that it's done. So when you believe something has happened already, you don't have such an urgency, you know, to press into God and keep reminding him, though that is biblical to do, so don't get me wrong. The Bible says, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and to keep on seeking. So that's a biblical thing to do. But you don't have to do that once you receive your answer. So once you know that you receive it, though you don't see it, then you don't have that urgency to press in. My urgency is this. I want you to understand, folks, that your ministry, and I said this last week, but it bears repeating, your ministry needs you. Your ministry needs you. Yeah. Not me, you know, but your ministry. Now, I love you guys. All of y'all feel like family. I pray that, and this is my prayer to the Lord always, I pray that we never grow so big, Alki, that, you know, I can't be touched anymore. You know, I can't be reached or talked to on the phone or, you know, I'm so busy. You know, we have so many people in our ministry, my God, that I got to have my little security guards walk. If y'all ever see me do this, say, just punch me in the face. Don't even tell, just punch me in the face. I remember this conversation today. But I mean, I never want to get to the place where I'm too busy for the people that God has given me the lead, whether it's one or 1,000. I never want to get to that place because you know what? I would rather not have success. If success to me or success means that I'm going to be alienated from the people that I'm leading, I don't want that type of success. I never wanted a job that would take me away from my wife. That's just me. Now, I don't knock people that travel a lot and they're away from home because some people are wired for that. I'm not wired for that. I need Darlene. I ain't wired. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, I'm not wired for that. That's not my thing. I don't want to go away and be gone. I was miserable. Though I was happy, I was miserable. You got to understand, I was away the week before last from Friday to Sunday, and then I left on Wednesday and was away from Wednesday to Saturday in California. So I don't like that. I mean, I was just overjoyed to see my son and his fiance. I was just, it was such a blessing. It's what a Swedish year. That's as nice as she can be. But you know what? At the end of the day, after we did all of that hugging and hey, Tawan and hey, Chris and all of that, I came back to the hotel by myself. I don't like that. So I'm not going to lie. That's not my thing. I don't like that. So I never want to be the type of leader that success means alienating myself from the people that I lead because I love you guys, but I like you. Now, let me tell you, there is a difference. No, it is. It really is a difference because I've been in relationships before where I believe I love the person, but I really didn't like them. No, I really didn't. There were times I didn't like my children. Now, You know, I know y'all are still, your kids are still young, so just keep on living. As long as they raise their hands. You know, I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, dissuade you, and I know the children are listening. I know Brittany's daughter's probably saying, what does he mean by that? You're not going to like me one day. But no, what happens as children get older? There comes a time where they get a little rebellious, so they have their own mind, and that stage comes. And they want to go their way and do their thing. They want to show you that they're grown. So they're not really sometimes trying to be rebellious. They're just trying to show you, I'm able to take care of myself. So to them, it's just, I'm trying to take care of myself. To us, you're being rebellious. So I never want to get to that place where those types of things I miss. I like you guys. I really do. Even the ones that are not here that I get so upset with sometimes. You know, and let me tell you why I get upset. And I don't even know I'm going to read the scripture today. But let me tell you why I get upset sometimes. Donnie and I, you know, I know other pastors do it too, but I can't speak for them because I don't know what they do, but I believe that they do. But we really love you guys, and we really pray for you. I mean, this is not just something that we say. We really do this. And I mean, we take it very seriously, our prayers before the Lord, our petitions before the Lord on your behalf. We take that very seriously. And here's as a father, in ministry, here's the thing that will trouble you sometimes. Sometimes as a pastor, you do so much because you want people to get it. I mean, I know God's going to bless you. That's not my responsibility for you financially. It's my responsibility to touch and agree together, to stand in agreement with you, but it's not my responsibility to make sure that you are blessed financially. That's God's responsibility. My responsibility is to teach you the truth and show you the things that you need to do to line up so that you can be blessed. Now, here's the thing, guys. There's order in the Word of God. And I know from what Darlene has told me about Brittany, you love order. You know, you don't like things being out of order. And I'm kind of the same way. I like structure. You know, I mean, I like to have fun, but you can have fun in a structured type environment. I don't like chaos. I can't operate like that. I mean, and I told Darlene that. But Darlene always knew that about me because, like I told you, I've known her since she was 11. So it's not like we just got to know one another. But I just don't like chaos. And even in ministry, even if we have a small amount of folks, there's got to be order. You can't just do whatever you want to do because God is not going to honor that. You can't just, you know, just be, you know, we just, okay, everybody, how's everybody doing? Okay, so what about you, Nikki? And then y'all start talking. I'm up here preaching, y'all start talking. Nikki is talking to Grandma, and Grandma's talking to Brittany, and Brittany's waving at Pat. And you can't do that. See, it's not dishonoring me, but you're dishonoring what God has planned for this service. So that's why I said structure and order is important. Now, and I said that to say this. Many times, I was reading, let me have that book, honey. I was reading a book. This is the book that we use. And remember the 40-day prayer call I told you guys we've been on for our business? Well, the 40th day was yesterday. And so now we're not going to go every day of the week. We're going to go Monday through Friday. So I'm kind of glad because it's like every morning we're up, 7:14, we're on that call. But I was reminded of something that I read, and I wanted to, the chapter is called Contend for Me. And this is what I want to talk to you guys about today. Not necessarily from the book, but just I want to talk to you guys about that. When I say talk, since you know I can't preach because I can't really project today, but I really do want to talk to you because I want you to get this because you've got to understand the rights and the authority that you have as believers. There are things that you can come to God for, and there are things that you can say to God that you have a right to say, but many times we believe that we don't have that right. Before I say that, I want to give an example because I know that sometimes you read scriptures and you want to dissect the scriptures and people don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, you getting all deep and people are like, what in the world is he talking about? So I like to give examples when I'm preaching because I know it helps you to understand that word. That's right. So there was an incident talking about contend for me. Here's what happens. Sometimes as a husband, there are times that I pour into Darlene because I love her. So it has nothing to do with her being a good wife or being sexy or being gorgeous or being nice. It has nothing to do with that. It's because I love her. So whether she did all of those things, and she can straight up cook, but whether she did all of those things or not, I don't do the things that I do for her because she does all of those things. I do those things because of my love for her. So I will contend for her. I told her, it was a week or two ago, I said, do you know I would die for you? She said, yeah, honey, I do know that. And I said, well, I want you to know that because I would. And it has nothing to do with her being good. It's just that's the love that I have inside of me. And it's the protection. Any man is like that. You're going to protect your family. You don't even think about it, you know, when something like that happens. You know, and I think I said this a few months ago. Somebody ran in here and punched Nick in the face. Everybody in here knows what the reaction is going to be from him. We all know. We know what he's not going to pray. Are you going to pray for the guy? No, I know that. And I'm going to have to pull him off of the guy, you know, get him to cool down, because that's the natural reaction of a man protecting his family. But I want you to understand, it's no different with your Heavenly Father. He is the exact same way. David prayed a prayer so beautiful. It's in Psalm 35:23, and this is, I think, is in the abridged version or the amplified version. But it says this: contend for me, my Lord and God. That's the end part of the verse. But it's basically saying, fight for me, contend for me. Here's the example I want to use. When we were living in Cherry Hill, we had a little dog, Buster. Mm-hmm. Buster was a funny little guy. You know what he would do, Rick? We would get him washed. And he would, the moment we would pick him up from the, whatever you call those people that do, from the groomer, yeah. He would have this, it's like he would have this strut about him. Do you remember that? He would just be strutting, and his head would be up, and you call him, and he'd just turn around, and like he was prancing, almost like a horse. Well, and we would get up every morning, we'd walk him, we'd feed him, you know, we'd play with him. And here's the thing, he remembered those things. But here's what happened. One day, Dolly went out to take out the garbage and put it in the garage. Not in the garage, but our garbage cans were right outside of the garage. So she went to take the garbage out. And as soon as she stepped out, these two Eskimo Huskies were staring her right in the face. And y'all know those dogs with those green eyes or blue eyes. Yeah, they do look like wolves. That's absolutely right. So she did you scream?
No.
But I know she was kind of like, you know, taken back.
Yeah.
And who do you think ran out there? And now, you got to understand, these Huskies are like big dogs. Yeah. Buster was a Lhasa Apso. So he's like about 4 inches longer than my shoes. But he was contending for her. Why? Because he remembered the times that she walked him and got him groomed and fed him and played with him. And there was a loyalty that was there because of all of those things. And I want you to know this. There is a loyalty that your Heavenly Father has towards you that has nothing to do, though you come to church and pray and, you know, sing praises. And I was so frustrated today, Trey, because I couldn't sing. So I was trying to raise my hand and, you know, I like to move with the music, but I couldn't sing. And I was so frustrated because I know how the Heavenly Father enjoys praise. He enjoys that. Now, you want to know what pleases God? He loves for us to pray, but praise pleases him like nothing else. It just,
yeah.
It pleases. That's why it says he dwells amongst our praises, yeah. Because it pleases him. So when I wasn't able to sing this, I was frustrated. I was, I got to tell you. And then the songs that were sung, they were just touching my heart. They just started, the tears rolled down my eyes, because sometimes when we're singing songs of worship, my mind goes right to the throne room of God, and I'm envisioning myself, the Father's on the throne, and the Lord Jesus is beside him, and I'm seeing all of the hosts of the angels and all of the children of God bowing down and worshiping him, and sometimes the thought of that, just picturing that in my heart, it just brings tears out of my eyes, because that is my desire. Now, a lot of people have a lot of desires, but my desire is to be in the throne room of God and to experience that worship before God. So now let's talk about this. In the Bible, I want you to turn your Bible to the book of, it's 2 Kings chapter 18. And I'm not going to talk any more than 5 more minutes because I can't. I can feel myself. I'm trying to save some for this afternoon. And I know he's going to think I'm crazy, but what I'm doing right now, I think I'm going to do this afternoon. Get me a chair, put the mic right here, take it on down. But in the book of 2 Kings chapter 18, there was a king by the name of Hezekiah, and he was one of the righteous kings of Judah. He was one of the kings that we can really say that really labored before the Lord. And let me read about him. Let me show you what the Bible says about him. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushta. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were there any before him. For he clave to the Lord, and he departed from following him. He departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which was the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. Now, so this is the history of this king Hezekiah. Many times, folks, we are trying to do things that's not our responsibility to do. There are things that we are required to do, and then there are things that God is going to do for us. But now, based on our relationship with him, and I was saying this on our prayer call the other day, you know, we can never get to the place where we get so comfortable in ourselves that we forget the God of comfort who allowed us to get to that place. Now, I know many of you are not in the place where you want to be right now financially, but I can say this with absolute assurance. You're going to get there far sooner than you think. I had a dream last night, Trey, and you can help me with this. The dream, I was driving on the highway, and there were so many cars on the highway, and as I came to the toll, there was a place that I was trying to get to because the speaker that was going to be at this place, he was real renowned for giving out wisdom, so I was really anxious to get there. And so we were running into a lot of tolls and things like that, but we finally got to the building. As we got to the building, there were hundreds of people that were there, and we had to go up the steps to get there, and then as we were up the steps, there were so many people in line, and the line was just wrapped around and wrapped around, and I remember saying to myself, oh my gosh, I'm wondering if I'm even going to get in. So it seemed as though as the people were being let in, somehow, when Darlene and I got in, we were seated right in the front. And I remember saying, my gosh, I was at the back of the line, and now I'm seated in the front. And of course, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So I want to encourage you, for those of you that are going through some tumultuous times, that the things that you're going through right now, they're temporary. They have a short lifespan. They do. I want you to know they have a short lifespan. And the things that we've been praying about, you see, here's what's happened, Pat. We've been touching and agreeing and believing God, and now many of you are beginning to see some of the things that you prayed for, the doors open. I like the testimony that Cheryl gave this morning talking about the business that we're a part of, and she had called me during the week and told me, she said, Pastor, I'm getting real discouraged because I feel like I'm not a part of it. I can't, my computer is not working, my phone can't, you know, I can't get on the webinars. What did I say? Cheryl, don't be discouraged. It's going to be all right. And I think I text something like that. And she even told me, well, I have a friend that's going to be coming with me. And she said, now, these are exact words. Her exact words. She's not interested in the business. She's just going to be riding with me. And I said, okay. I just kind of let that go. So when we got there, I had gotten a call about 3 o'clock that day, excuse me, that I had to present. Now, this is on a Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, I was sick as a dog. And I knew Wednesday, I said, I can't go. So I started to text Dwayne back and say, I can't go. But the Spirit of the Lord said, go anyway. Sometimes you really have to press through those things that you're feeling. So I pressed my way through. And when I got there, excuse me, the CEO was sitting right in the front. So, yeah, the CEO was there. Excuse me, no pressure. No pressure whatsoever. I'm sitting there, the CEO sitting there, co-founder sitting there, Dwayne, he's sitting there. He told me, I want you to present. I know she's going to give me some water. That's my boobie, because I need it right about now. And so I'm sitting there, and so I was praying in my spirit, Lord, give me the strength just to be able to make it through this presentation, because I hadn't lost my voice at that point, but like now, you know, sometimes you get this urge where you just have to cough. You can't do nothing about it. You can try to, you know, act like it's not there. And right in the middle of a word, you know, you'll cough. So Yes, exactly. Well, anyway, so the Lord got me through it without coughing, no incidents, and I just felt like I was really excited. I was really motivated. Then the slides went, the slides that I was presenting on, because I had not seen the presentation. So the slides that I was using, the slides, the computer somehow went offline. So now I'm standing there, and I have to wing a presentation that I didn't know anyway, which is actually pretty easy, because if I didn't know it, I just didn't know it. But as it turns out, it was an excellent night. I asked the Lord again to contend for me, to give me strength, to strengthen me to get through this. And as it turns out, the person that Cheryl brought with her that was not interested at all in the business stopped me. Thank you, sweetie. Stopped me right in the middle of talking. Just, you can't get that. You're trying to be just rip that bad boy off. There you go. Stopped me right in the middle of what I was saying and said, listen, I need, then she said, Cheryl, I need to sign up right now. And I said, okay, well, I tell you what, when I get home, you know, I'll give you a buzz. And she kind of looked at me, and then I thought, we had a promotion that was going on that ended Wednesday night at 12. So she's looking at me like, are you completely losing your mind? I need, and this was about 9:45 then, she said, I need to sign up right now. And I said that to say this. Sometimes the very things or people that you think won't do something, they are the very ones that God is going to use to encourage you. Yeah. And it really encouraged Cheryl, and I told her, you never say never. And I said that to say this. When God is contending for you, all you've got to do is just believe that he's got your back. Now, if Buster have enough sense to know that, I mean, seriously, to know that these dogs could bring danger to the person that's feeding him, how much more is your Heavenly Father continuing for you right now, the things that you're believing him for?
Yeah.
When I think about the story of Hezekiah, there was a guy by the name of, excuse me for sucking on this, but I have no choice, guys. This other king, Sennacherib, King Sennacherib had a penchant for boasting. And he boasted, and he was telling Hezekiah what he was going to do, and you know, he was telling Hezekiah, listen, you might as well just give in. He started quoting the other people that tried to contend against him and what happened to them. And he basically said, the same thing's going to happen to you. Then he went to the people and started telling the people, don't believe your king, he's going to get you killed. How many of you have ever had somebody to tell you, why are you believing God? Anybody? What was your response? What was your response?
My response is always, it just works for me.
What about when you're going through, when God promised you something? And I know it may not be none of you, but I've been in a situation where God has promised me something, but it didn't happen right away. And then the enemy comes, well, he will use people, Brittany, to start whispering in your ears and start telling you, see how dumb you are. You're getting up early every Sunday morning, driving to North Brunswick. Why? You get down, there's 10 people there. Why don't you go to a real church? This is what the enemy will whisper in your mind. But let me tell you something. This is what this king Sennacherib did to Hezekiah. This is what Hezekiah did. The king, excuse me, sent him a note. Instead of Hezekiah panicking, he remembered his service to the Lord. Do y'all remember me quoting? Somebody get it for me. Isaiah 43:26. Somebody get that for me. And I want you to read it. I'm going to be old school today. You know how they used to say, get the verse, and then they said, read. I'm going to let y'all read for me today. Read it for me, Trey.
For me and remembrance, let us contend together. That you may be acquitted.
Read it again. Read it loud.
Put me in remembrance.
Put me in remembrance.
Mm-hmm. Let us contend together.
Let us contend together.
State your case.
State your case.
That you may be acquitted.
Now let me tell you why.
I'm laughing.
I know why.
You know why.
I know why you're laughing. Because this is what they used to do. Old school, remember that? They used to, because let me tell you why they did that. Many people don't know why they would do that. They did it because they couldn't read. No, really. And back in the day, a lot of the preachers, they couldn't read. So they would get the Bible. A lot of times their wives or their assistants, they would let them know ahead of time what they were going to read. They couldn't read. So they would repeat the verse because that was their way of remembering what it was said. So that, I know why you're laughing, but, and I said that because there's something in there that says, let us contend together.
Right. It's actually the
B part of that verse.
Let us contend together.
Yes. State your case that you may be acquitted or you may be justified. Now listen, here's the thing. You have a right, believer, to go before God. If you feel as though you've been mistreated, now I know there are some preachers right now that will say you are preaching heresy. I said, well, my response is that the heresy is right in the Word of God. Because we are given the right to go to God. I'm telling you, we are given the right. Because Hezekiah did this. Hezekiah did it twice. He did it once when the army of King Sennacherib was coming against him. He didn't have to fight, but what happened, when he reminded God of his service to him, God sent an angel that night when they were sleeping and killed, it was 185,000. And that one angel slew 185,000 soldiers. So I don't want you, first of all, please don't ever believe you're in war against an angel. That's just not a good career move. It's not going to end well for you. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers. There was another time, the very next chapter, where Hezekiah got sick. And Isaiah the prophet came to him, God sent him there and said, tell Hezekiah to clean up his house, to get his house in order, you're going to die. So Hezekiah again went back to God. Y'all notice my projection is getting better now? He went back to God and he reminded him of his service to him. And he pleaded his case. And God turned Hezekiah around after he had given, Isaiah around and told him to go back to Hezekiah and to tell him that he has 15 more years. So now listen, if Hezekiah can do it, why do you think you can't? Why do we really believe that we do not have the right to contend with God? To say, Father, you promised me this. These are your words. Listen, just this morning, I was on the floor and God said, I need you to get down in a prostrate position. And as I was down on the floor, I reminded God, Nikki, of his promises. I said, Father, this is what you said. And you have to do this. You have to do this, not because, you know, I'm just asking, but you promised. I didn't even ask you for this. You sent a servant, your prophet, to me, and you told me you were going to do this. And I said, will you please stop sending prophets to me with a word and just give me the promise? You have a right to go to God. How many of y'all feel that's kind of arrogant? You feel that? I don't either. I don't feel as arrogant at all because he said we can do it. Listen, there were times my father was a pastor. Y'all know that. There were times my father would preach stuff, and he would just call me. He said, son, he said, I've never seen one person with so many questions. I mean, because after every sermon, I'd be writing stuff down and I'd go home. And he's like, John, I'm too tired for this today. So I let him sleep for about an hour and I go in there poking. Now I'm a grown man. I go in there poking. I wake him up. I say, all right, Dad, so remember you said this verse. And I just go back and forth with him. But I learned my father was a brilliant man. He was an absolute brilliant man. I mean, just brilliant. And I knew that. So I would, you know, I tell people there, I should know one or two things just because of the household that I was raised in. Just a brilliant man. So, but I said that to say, you have a right to go to God. Some of you in here right now, and I was telling Corbett this during our fellowship time. Listen, and Darlene said it as well. You declare the things in your body and in your house that you want to happen. But don't say anything else. You don't talk about the things that you don't want to happen. You don't have to receive a bad report about your body. That's your body. Sickness does not have a right. When sickness comes in your body, it's illegal. I want y'all to understand that. Because Jesus died for our sickness and our diseases. Do y'all understand that? When sickness comes in my body, I know sometimes God allows it to happen to slow me down because I've been running a lot. But I'm not going to let sickness stay there. I don't give in to it. I don't just say, well, I have a cold. Or I got the flu. I don't say I got anything. I just say my body's not feeling well. I got phlegm in my throat. I got a fever. But you have to go. So that fever I got on Monday left on Tuesday because I was not having a fever in my body. Not really. I'm serious. I was not going to allow a fever to just remain in my body because I know what can happen when you do. So I made the fever go away. Now, my body was weak, yes, but the fever was gone. You know, after I bowed down like the Lord told me this morning, I started, my head cleared up. I couldn't even talk this morning. My head cleared up. My voice started clearing up. I was even trying to sing praise and worship. I was singing on the low notes. But what was I doing? I was contending for what I believe.
Yeah.
I'm contending for my health.
Yeah.
And I want you to do the same thing. You contend for the things you believe. Listen, let me tell you why I'm talking directly to Corbin. Because Corbin and I have this history going back years and years ago. Corbin, for some reason, has always not believed in himself. And I've always believed in him. So it's just, I mean, and I think that's why God placed stuff together. Because every time he tells me something he can't do, I rebuke him. I mean, I don't even wait. But it has nothing to do. It's not a bad thing. But it's my belief in him.
Yeah.
I believe in him so much because I know the skills and abilities that he has. And do you think your God in heaven is any different? He believes in you when you want to doubt him. When you want to say, I can't do something, what does he say? He put a word in his servant Paul to tell you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
So everything that you need to be successful, you have it already.
Mm-hmm.
We have it in abundance on the inside. I had told Darlene at one time this morning, I said, you know what, I think I'm going to stay home. And that's when the Lord said, get on your knees. Bow down. Go on. Bow down. He did. I mean, he said it like this. Bow down. The only way up is down. Those were his words. The only way to feel better is by bowing down to me. And as I bowed down in obedience, when I got up, I felt almost 100% better.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm saying that to say to you, don't you think that God has it in for you? There's nothing that bothers me more, Nikki, than to hear people say, well, I'm not going to, let me see what God's going to do with this sickness. Well, he didn't give it to you. He ain't going to do nothing with it but get rid of it if you let him. I hate to hear people say, well, I got the flu. Well, let me see how God's going to use this flu to bless somebody. Seriously, guys, you really think your Father in heaven would make you sick to help somebody else? What about helping you first so that you can help somebody?